Hey, this is Eve Miles, and you're listening to the Infamous Podcast.
Infamous Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. We've got Johnny's Australian twin cousin with us today.
I thought that was you.
I'm the twin cousin.
you're gonna speak the Australian to us.
Can you do an Australian accent like that? Mine sounds like an Outback commercial. Try a blooming onion.
Foster's Australian for stop it.
that's what happened. Last week I started doing it and I'm sitting on the couch just doing it. And I looked at Elva and I said, do you know what how you say beer in Australian? And she goes, no. And I said, Foster's. She just shook her head.
All right, so it's Brian and Johnny, and you hear another mysterious voice.
I want Twilight Zone music, maybe the TARDIS sound.
Yeah.
I think I have that actually. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, ma'am?
My name's Katie. I'm a friend of Johnny's.
And our resident blogger for the Infamous Podcast website, who occasionally writes things for us.
Occasionally.
She's our Sherpa into the world of tabletop gaming.
And yeah. PC gaming.
And pretty much any gaming.
Yeah.
You have more knowledge of gaming than I ever could.
I put another 12 hours onto that game.
Oh, jeez.
What are you playing?
I'm playing a game that came out in February. It's like a remake of Harvest Moon. It's called Stardew Valley.
Cool.
And the first day I bought it, I played it for 11 hours straight.
Like you do.
Yes, exactly. So,
When I got The Last of Us, I think I played it like completely, like overnight. Didn't sleep for like 13 hours. Played.
That was a good game.
Yeah, it's fun. All right, so it's Katie.
We're
putting Johnny to sleep.
Dungeons and Dragons comes out this week. Were you asking me about that?
Yeah, I have it on my pull list.
Okay.
Cool.
It's on my list.
Is it? So. Was it? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Hey, I like a little sword and sorcery.
That goes right into what we were going to talk about first.
Ta-da.
Game of Thrones.
We planned it.
Plan.
Segway. That's Segway in Australian.
What's never mind. Anyway, all right. So,
Rocky.
All right, so Game of Thrones this week. Episode 2.
There are no Australians.
Home.
Game of Thrones. Nope.
No?
Not yet.
I guess not.
That would be awesome if it was Australian.
Were there Australians?
Crikey, is that a dragon?
Anyway.
Steve Irwin shows up on Game of Thrones.
Is it Steve Irwin's ghost? Or is the manta ray? Is it the manta ray that got him?
Or he is the manta ray. He has become.
Did he warg
the
into the manta ray as
well,
it was killing
Game
him?
Well, if it's Game of Thrones, he could be,
It'd be his sigil.
Yeah.
That should be Biddy's or Bendy.
Bendy Irwin.
It's her sigil, the manta ray through the heart. I like it, Katie.
Through the heart is kind of far.
It's dark and evil.
She gets a little bit more power and just declares war on manta rays.
That would be awesome.
I would be behind.
I'm right there with her. Those things are creepy.
I love Steve Irwin. So
I think I've
actually got that Collision Course movie. He did just because I loved him.
That's
so
all right.
Much.
He was awesome.
Oh, I was so sad when that happened.
All right, so we're gonna talk about the episode. No spoilers. Even though a lot of spoilers, but a lot of cool stuff happened.
The major points. I don't want to spoil.
So, there was a huge death.
A couple huge deaths. One more echoing to past seasons.
So
somebody we haven't seen in a couple seasons.
So we revisit the Iron Isles.
Yes.
For the first time. And if you've read the books, a character shows up who is the amalgam of...
Is he magic? Is he like a magical character?
He's not magic.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, our discussion when we watched it last night was that it looks like this season is going more toward the magic is starting to show up.
Well, because the dragons are back.
Well, the dragons are back. That guy shows up and kind of says, well, I'm this and I'm this. I'm the storm.
When he's like, I am the storm. I am the drowned guy.
Right. When he's pronouncing himself as everything. And then the three-eyed raven.
Yeah, Max Van Cieno. Yeah,
so. That whole flashback thing was kind of awesome.
Was awesome. So, and that's not a big spoiler, but yeah. Like for the first time ever, we get a flashback on the show.
Yeah.
And it flashes back to Winterfell at the height of Winterfell in the Stark Dynasty.
Yeah, before the War of the Five Kings. And
well, no, I mean, this was before the whole Targaryen war with Robert's Rebellion. It was before Robert's Rebellion. Right.
Well, yeah, because...
Katie, have you read Game of Thrones? Do you watch it?
I read the first two books.
So you know who Ned Stark is and...
Yeah, I know. And I keep up with, you know, like, big events.
Right. Red so the wedding. Flashback had... Ned was probably about 13 or 14.
He was probably like what... no, I think he was probably like Bran's age.
Yeah, it was before everything.
I think he was like Bran's age from when they started.
Well,
from season one.
What you call it? Binge was it Benji? Benji was younger,
like Rickon's age,
right? And then what? Lyanna.
Yep.
Is she younger than?
She's in between, Ned and
they cast a girl that looked older than both of those. Yeah, girls.
So.
I was like,
but so she was like, she was beautiful. She was one of the most beautiful women in like all seven kingdoms at the time. So, which is why Rhaegar Targaryen,
right.
You know, started all the shiznit.
Yeah,
the shite.
He was in love with her.
He was. He ground her, the Queen of Love and Beauty, at the Harrenhal tournament. I know way too much about this crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Where, so, are you on the wiki? Are you?
No, I've just
got. Did you set the wiki up?
No.
Yeah.
He memorized it last night.
Like a Star Trek fan, except it's Game of Thrones. Read every book. I know every episode.
It's big. Not Star Trek big, though.
I do...
It's pretty big.
All right, so if you guys haven't read the books, I highly suggest getting the audiobooks. It's a great way to do it because you can do, like, an hour, and you get a... You just knock out a bunch of it, and then you go back and do another hour, and...
I read the first book. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I had a hard time reading his writing just because I don't think he's an exceptional writer.
Yeah.
He's a good storyteller.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, the tactical execution of writing...
Right.
He's average at best.
Yeah, like he's good at writing screenplays because he wrote a lot of the episodes for Beauty and the Beast, the Ron Perlman series. And it's a lot of, you know, magic but not magic type story stuff going on because it's modern day New York City of 1989 or whatever. But I mean, he made it more like when they brought him in, he brought in more of a mystical element to the underground that they were living in and that, so you know, I think that he's better doing like screenplays and that type of stuff.
Yeah, I tell you what, the guys who are show running have what, just Ben knocked it out of the park. Weiss? Yeah. So anyway, so like a couple big moments you had in the north, you had a couple deaths.
You know what, I'll say there's two like that aren't like spoiler at all, but I won't say anything about them, but there's two oh shit moments that are like at the very beginning of the episode that, you know, you could call a headbanger's ball.
Oh yeah, nice. Yeah. I like it. So so you have that. So there's stuff that happens at Winterfell, there's stuff that happens at the Iron Isles, and you know, there's a death there
at the
all the stuff at the wall. Yeah. And then I think one of my favorite things was Tyrion Lannister, Dragon Whisperer. You know, so like since the series started, he's talked about dragons.
Yeah.
And you know, he shared the story again of how he asked for a dragon for his birthday and he's like, oh, just a little dragon. Right. You know, I don't care, just a dragon.
He said it was cool because he's telling the story to the dragons and it's the thing where he's like, I just wanted a dragon that was my size.
Right.
He goes, and everybody thought it was funny. I was serious.
Yeah, I just want a dragon.
And the best part is that when he's talking to the, I don't know the two dragons' names, but you know, because you can't.
Oh, Viserys and...
Rhaegal. But you don't know which one's
which. Viserys the green one, Rhaegal is the gold one.
Well, they were in shadow in that, you know.
Switch that.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyways,
like how that works.
He's literally looking... He's looking at the one and telling the story, and he's like, he's... literally like that dragon is enticed by the story.
Oh yeah,
growling at him still the whole time, but he's like telling him how I just wanted a dragon my size, and then my dad told me that there were no dragons alive, and he goes, and I cried the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
And that dragon literally stops growling.
He kind of looks at him and goes,
it literally was like one of those
it
things
was like
where
the sweetest little
he felt
scene
some
ever
sympathy for him to the point that he stopped growling at him. And I was like, Okay, well, this is interesting.
So I think Tyrion, of like anyone on the planet or in the Seven Kingdoms here, knows more about dragons than anyone alive.
Right, yeah.
Because he's been obsessed with them since he was tiny.
He identifies with his the descendant, risen Aegon.
Yeah.
One of his descendants.
No.
He identifies with Aegon because Aegon was a dwarf too.
Right. So no, he's not a... Like the Lannisters and Targaryens.
I think if you want to read a story with him, it's the Hedge Knight.
The Hedge Knight.
Comic book.
And it was a novel too. But
oh, did they?
Maybe
because it was originally a comic book story. And
but no. So it was really cool. And then watching Varys, who is always like cucumber cool,
like,
right?
Yeah, like you know,
like pissing himself essentially.
Yeah, like pretty much you see the sweat running down his face because he thought I can die at any time.
Well, and he's like, I'm gonna lose my best friend, who you know was. Kind of set me up here.
I think I said, you know, because he's a eunuch, I said, how does a eunuch piss himself?
They rewrap the...
I was like, it's running down his legs right now.
I have a medical journal in here somewhere. Oh, wow. I'll show you later. So, but no, it was great. And it was...
He had the best line, like, when he was done talking to the dragons, doing what he did with the dragons, and he walks back up the steps and he goes, if I ever have an idea like that again... Make sure you stop me. Punch me in the face.
Yeah, he says, punch me in the face, which was great. The other thing that was cool is his knowledge of understanding why the dragons were gone.
Yeah.
You know, that it's one of those things where they put them in cages. And,
so
they got smaller as time went on.
No, what happened?
And so, because if you remember, Viserys in season one talks about, you know, oh, well, at the end, the last dragons were no bigger than dogs.
Right, yeah.
Because they had stopped riding the dragons and started, you know, subjugating the dragons. So, like, as a woman, Katie, you know exactly what that feels like.
What
was
that, man?
Just a joke. Wait, no, that was me as a kid.
Am I the subjugate E or the subjugate door?
Knowing the little I know you, I'm going to go with the or.
Oh, okay. So that's a different topic.
Yeah. But anyway, no, so I think what this episode did though was it showed how to do this kind of holy shit moment at the end of a season, and then like it wasn't like this big build up thing, but then how to build up the story and then pay it off the right way.
They're amping up. Yeah. Like each episode is amping up. Like, you know it's getting toward the end of the series. And that, but they're not getting lazy.
Right.
And I mean, I'm just like, when I'm sitting there and I'm watching Tyrion talk to those dragons, I'm like, I can't wait to see him ride one of those things.
Oh, yeah.
You know
he's going to.
You know it's coming. And I'm like, but I was still like thinking it all works out because they said that the Slaver Bay is back to being Slaver Bay.
Right.
And it's because Daenerys locked the dragons up and made them slaves
in a
sense. And I was like, okay, he just freed them, which means that all hell's about to break loose.
Well, and Daenerys never really understood the dragons at all.
Right, yeah.
You know, she's just like, well, I'm their mother. And it's like, well, that's not enough.
That means Tyrion's like their uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their creepy uncle who comes over and frees them from the cupboard under the stairs.
Right, yeah. And then their cousin's up in the north.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Laying on his deathbed.
Well, you know.
Great jump scare at the end. I'll say that. No spoiler, but great jump scare at the end.
Did you jump?
I didn't jump, but she jumped. She jumped.
So, like, I don't know. I can't really talk about it without spoiling it too much.
Right, yeah.
But I thought it was going to go one way,
and
it didn't, and I would have been happy either way. I will say this. I look forward to seeing more of how Melisandre deals with
everything
that's happened to her in the last two episodes.
She's lost faith.
Yeah.
In herself and
the God of Fire.
The God of Fire.
The Red God.
But Davros, Sir Davros, unfaithful man who had no faith in anything, has found faith in her. He literally says, I don't believe in any of the gods, but I believe in you.
I've seen what you've done, woman.
Yeah, it's like I've actually seen what you've done, so you've proved yourself to me.
I've seen you push a demon out your vagina.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, it was essentially what he said, but...
But yeah, that was a cool moment. I like that character. So
yeah, the Onion Knight is awesome, and he's great in the book. And so, I don't think they're gonna go down a certain path that they are in the book right now because I don't think we'll ever see Rickon Stark again.
Oh really?
But
I think he'll be back
in the book. He's sent to find him.
Oh, okay.
So after some other interesting stuff happens, because Stannis is still alive in the books.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting for sure.
Well, and that was a cool conversation too with Brienne.
Yeah.
Brienne and Sansa talking about Arya.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, oh, cool, you know. So and to see Sansa's actually growing up.
Yeah. No,
only took like what a rape to do it, but it's like Jesus Christ.
So at the end of season four, they had that big like Sansa, like the dark Sansa coming down the steps. She didn't have the red hair anymore. And you really thought that character was gonna go somewhere.
Right.
And then they did the whole thing with her and Ramsay, which was Elaine Poole in the books.
Yeah.
Because she looks so much like Arya, they married Ramsay to Arya. And because they gave her that storyline, they kind of backslid her.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see her going back to where Baelish was sending her.
Right.
And a little.
Well, that'll have repercussions on him eventually. Well,
is he still, is he back at the Vale? Like, where is Littlefinger?
He went back to the keep.
Yeah, I don't know, so.
Well, I mean, it's literally like this show's starting to get to the point where I need a graph chart of where everybody is.
Just a map, like,
they do a good job of that at the beginning, and it was like, you know, when they showed the Iron Mountains, the Iron Islands, it was like, oh, okay, we're going to see the Great
Like, North I again. Love that about the opening, is it shows you kind of where
we're going for that episode.
And it's not even just the episode, it's just kind of this particular season. Because the Braavos, the big Braavosi, whatever, who's supposed to come alive to protect Braavos, like there's a whole mythology behind him, which is cool. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm enjoying it. I'm glad that they are putting it to a point where they have an end game. They're gonna do 13 episodes after this season.
Okay,
and that's it.
Are they splitting it into two seasons?
They're gonna do. I think it's. 6 and then 7, vice versa. Wow. So, and that'll be in the series.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, which I mean, it's good because
it just makes sense to do it. I mean,
like if you look at like what Lost did before Lost got to their end game.
Yeah.
Like all of season 3, they spun their wheels.
Yeah, they didn't know where they were going.
And then at the beginning of season 4, they're like, we need to have a direction.
Well, it came down to the point that the producers, Lindelof and
J.J. Abrams and Hughes,
they went to ABC and said, we need an ending. And ABC was like,
no.
Okay. And it was like, at that point, I think J.J. was just in there said, you know, this show has to end at some point.
Right.
And let us end it when we want to. And ABC couldn't argue with them because it was their highest rated show at that point.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, yeah. Coming back, they were like, this is when it ends.
And I mean, before we started recording, we were talking about Supernatural.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a show that has fallen victim to, you know, its own success because it had to defend a beginning and end with the 5-season arc.
Right.
And it's continued. And, you know, I keep hearing like, you know, from like, you know, other people like Black Daryl and those guys who are like, you know, no, it's really good again, but I'm not going to wade through the crap to get to where I understand like the mythology, because I did try and watch the 6th season and I tapped out after like 6 episodes because I'm like, this is trash. Like
the way that I looked at it and I told you was that there's been good stories and good seasons, but not a good storyline through the seasons.
Right.
Yeah. So. I mean, you know.
Well, the characters got old. They never resolved anything between.
Do they still constantly fight? And is Dean like very protective?
I hate you, but I love you.
It's always like, you're my brother. I'll always have your back. Okay, let's stab each other in the back now.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Next time, I'll have your back.
Yeah.
And is the it's an Impala, right? That's the car.
Yeah.
Like, is it still have like a tape deck and that ridiculousness?
Oh, yeah.
Because remember when Dean went away and Sam put like, the iPod connector in, and he's like throwing it in the back. So he's like, what the hell is wrong with you? You know? Anyway, all right. So Game of Thrones, it's awesome. You're watching it out there already, so there's really not much
do. And you're waiting for the whole season, we're not going to spoil it.
No, we're going to try and be better.
Other internets will spoil it, but not us.
All right. So speaking of internets and TV, Netflix picked up The Punisher for a series.
Yeah.
To no one's surprise, I think.
Yeah.
Hopefully
it's not a what, 13?
Yeah, I'm hoping it's like 6.
Yeah,
because 13 episodes of him coming up with new and creative ways to kill people.
Yeah.
One thing that's really cool is Steve Lightfoot is the showrunner.
Okay.
Do you know that name?
No.
He is the showrunner for Hannibal.
Oh, okay.
And Katie, do you ever watch Hannibal?
No, but I've seen parts of it.
It is no, the TV show on NBC. No, yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah. It's dark.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they get away with stuff that on like 9 o'clock on like a Friday night. That
first half of the first season, and I'm just like, whoa. So,
like, Mads Mikkelsen is Hannibal, who he's going to be in. He's a yet unknown character in Rogue One.
Plus, he's in Doctor Strange also.
Oh, he is in Doctor Strange. I forgot about that. Yeah. So yeah, it's. I think with the combination of him and Jon Bernthal, and you know, Marvel's, I would say, like, new revitalized grasp on who Frank Castle is. I am looking forward to it, but not looking forward to 13 episodes.
Six episode arc.
I think six would be perfect. If it is 13, it is not one where I will sit there and watch all 12 or all 13. Like, no, because I don't think like my brain could handle that.
What the amount of murder and blood.
Who knows? You know, it's just one of those things. It's just too much.
Well,
an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And like not like a TV hour, like, you know, network TV, like an actual hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the shortest Daredevil episode was like 53 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Which you would like Daredevil, and Jessica Jones is okay.
Jessica Jones was good. I think looking back, season 2 of Jessica Jones has some catching up to do. Quality wise,
are they actually doing a season 2?
I don't know. They haven't. They're not doing a season 2
with her. But who knows?
I don't know.
And that's another question: is Punisher going to be part of Defenders now, or is it just going to be a one-off series? And
yeah, who knows? Yeah. So it's interesting, but you know, it's exciting at the same time. We get more Marvel goodness.
We'll probably have Daredevil show up in that again.
You know? Yeah, I think you could have Daredevil. You could have
Spider-Man,
maybe.
That'd be cool.
You know, that would be cool. You know, Cloak and Dagger, who are going to be on the Freeform show, they are, you know, Hell's Kitchen-y type characters. They could show up for
Punisher,
sure.
Well, with Punisher, it's not even Hell's Kitchen. It'll be all Manhattan.
Well, let's hope. You know, like I would like them to see them. Like, I would like to finally see the Avengers Tower in the background of one of these skyline shots in New York City in the Marvel. You know?
Because it would make sense.
Because, like, they've mentioned it, and they mentioned the attack, and, you know.
Well, you know, if they're going to have a villain, it's going to be Jigsaw. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It'll be the start of Jigsaw like it was the start of Kingpin.
Maybe, yeah.
Probably, so.
I don't know. They did Jigsaw in the Ray Stevenson Punisher with Dominic.
Never seen it.
Weist? West? Is it West? Is that how you say it? McNulty from The Wire.
Oh, yeah, Dominic West.
Dominic West, yeah. And that was.
Oh, he played him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna do air quotes when I say played him.
Yeah.
Because he was awful.
Okay.
But, like. Yeah, I mean, it was bad.
Do they have casting for Punisher yet?
Just Bernthal.
Just Jon Bernthal. Oh. Yeah. So, who was Shane on The Walking Dead? So, but yeah, no, it's interesting. Like, there's a lot I feel they can do with this. I would really like to see if they could get Chris Evans to show up and do at least an episode with Cap
like
and Punisher.
Captain America.
You know, but yeah. Well, and you are hoping still for a Thunderbolts.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be an interesting way to come out
recruit him into the Thunderbolts.
Well, it would be an interesting way to come out of Civil War.
Yeah,
and like retie those universes together in a like a solid knot. You know, like they're connected. There's no breaking them apart.
That's the thing is like with the Marvel universe is the movies are connected to each other. The Netflix shows are connected to each other. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of connected to the cinematic universe.
Right.
But it's like, why aren't you just connecting at all?
Well, because Joss Whedon came out at one point during, like, around the time Age of Ultron came out and said, these aren't connected. They're not.
Well, yeah.
These aren't a thing. And it's like, you know, well, who is he to say that? Yeah. You know, you're not Kevin Feige. You're just a guy who made a subpar.
I mean, they're not connected in the sense that
sequel
you have
and
Kevin Feige running the cinematic universe and Jeff Loeb running the television universe, but it is all in the same universe. They mention the incident all the time,
constantly
on the Netflix shows,
you know, and on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, they bring up you know, they had the room for the Hulk, and you know, he's constantly gushing over Captain America and, and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, no, it's like I said, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it.
I'll be curious to see where they go with it. I do hope that it's only six episodes. That's going to be a, it literally will be overkill.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there's going to be like flashback stories to when he was a soldier. I mean, that's the only thing where I'm like, okay, I could do that, because they did that in the comic book. There was crossovers with, because in the comic books, Frank Castle was a soldier in Vietnam. So there was a Marvel book called The Nom,
right,
where they did crossovers with the Punisher and did flashback stories of Frank and his group fighting in Nam. So, you know,
I mean, this one's Afghanistan, but you know, I mean, they could do, there's some pretty cool things that they could do. And so if it is 13, hopefully it's not all just hunting and murdering mobsters.
There's going to have to be a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
So, you know.
MacGuffin. That's your favorite word this week.
Did I use it already?
You used it last night when we talked to Christian.
Oh, okay. So, well, you know.
Yeah.
It's the lantern in Lantern Falls.
Yep. So, all right.
Whatever
so,
Punisher's hunting.
Yeah. So then in actual comic book news, Mask is coming back. IDW, which
totally, like, you know, I think I called that a few weeks ago
when IDW came back out with ROM and Micronauts, and the fact that they already own G.I. Joe and Transformers.
Well, and
it just
Hasbro
makes sense, and
the whole
and
the cinematic universe thing.
So I'm really looking forward to this. Mask is one of my all-time favorite cartoons. Do you remember Mask, Katie? So it was like,
it's before your time.
Yeah. So think like Transformers, but not robots. The cars would transform into other things. So like the one, the T-Bird had the, like the gullwing doors, and it would turn into a jet. And there was a motorcycle that turned into a helicopter. And
that's
and,
all they can turn into.
Yeah.
So it's not like Wonder Twins
it,
meets.
Yeah, no. It literally was like, Matt Tracker was the leader of the Mask team. And there's a guy named Miles Mayhem, who's the leader of the villains team called Venom. And they had worked together, like, to create these masks that would pretty much interface with the vehicles.
So, and, like, yeah. So, like, there was a truck called Rhino, and it was, like, the command center. And it was a little Asian guy that drove it, and or who was, like, kind of the computer dude. And then a burly, like, professor guy who was the driver. And it was, you know. But their masks all had different abilities as well. So, and then there was the little kid in T-Bop.
Which they said kind of will be different this time.
I hope so.
Well, they said there's going to be changes, because they said they want Mad Tracker to be kind of a cross between Elon Musk and Idris Elba.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I've read a few articles about what they're planning. There's going to be more ties to, because they didn't do it a lot in the cartoon, acknowledging that Miles Mayhem and Mad Tracker had worked together.
Yeah.
And there's going to be more of that father-son, but not
like mentor mentee type of a thing.
Yeah, and,
so,
you know, the traitor thing and that.
I'll say this.
There'll be the crossover with G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to happen. You know.
So like Mask, when we were kids, I mean, it was like the characters were pretty diverse. There was, you know, it wasn't all just white characters and things like that.
I mean, G.I. Joe and Mask probably were the most diverse cartoons.
But so since they're moving to the cinematic universe as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is one where, like, I don't think IDW should really stick to, like, okay, Matt Tracker's white because he was white in the cartoon.
Right.
Like, let's write these books so they're in line with what we're going to do in the movies.
Yeah.
And so when they pick, like, whoever the best actor is
for
the role.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, I'm sure that they'll stick to what the show was.
Right.
And I'm sure that the movies will stick to what the show was, because you can have a character named Bruce Sato and cast, you know, an Irishman. It's kind of,
Well, it could be like the chick in Harry Potter.
Say he's Irish Asian.
Yeah, so, he's an Irish an Asian ginger.
Nice.
You know.
Yeah.
Don't tell us what we can't do.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Hey, I will make that happen. I will find a ginger and an Asian person and make them make a baby, and keep trying until there's an Asian ginger.
Is that going
to
be on the
show? I think I'm going to leave. That's why I stepped close to the door.
You just told me I couldn't do it. So no. But
you say you do what you want.
So David Hedgecock, the managing editor at IDW, actually had a really great quote saying, in quote, We're so proud to be able to continue growing the impressive relationship between IDW Publishing and Hasbro with this new Mask comic series. We can't wait to bring the high-octane, unique brand of storytelling to this book that we know fans of Mask will expect.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously, IDW is taking very good care of our childhood.
Right.
And, you know, I'm a fan of their Transformers books. I don't always get them, but I do get, like, arcs from time to time.
There's the thing where, like you said, you don't get them all the time. I've picked up a lot of their stuff, you know, and especially, like, at a comic book store if they're having a sale or something.
Definitely.
Or, like, you know, Comixology.
Yep.
If they do their sales. It's a good way to pick up their stuff and check it out. Because there's cool stories that they tell. Like, the one story right now, I will pick the trade paperback up, where Optimus Prime has taken over Earth.
Oh, okay.
And it's like he's literally came to Earth and said, I'm in charge.
Yeah.
And this is what's going to happen.
Well, like, remember that the Knights, you know, those Autobot Knights?
Yeah.
Like, there was a whole story about, like, finding the birthplace of those Knights.
Right.
That was awesome. And it was Hot Rod or Rodimus, whatever.
Right.
And RC. And, you know, it was this really cool mix of characters. I think Cup was actually in it for a little bit.
But even, like, their G.I. Joe stuff. I mean,
yeah,
the G.I. Joe
stuff. The G.I. Joe one where it was when Cobra Commander died and they were trying to figure out the new Cobra Commander. Did you read that storyline?
I did read
line?
That one, but so, I know what you're talking about.
So Cobra Commander dies, Katie. And
spoilers, are you serious?
It was like 5 years ago. There's, you know, hashtag no spoilers.
I have
no,
a big
anyway.
Backlog, okay?
Yeah. Anyway, so Cobra Commander dies, and the remaining Cobra leaders have essentially a competition to see who's going to be the next Cobra Commander. And the competition is to see who can kill the most Joes. And it's awesome. And there's a point where I forget who it was.
Though, at one point, Snake Eyes shows up.
Yeah.
And, like, he's in the competition.
Oh, yeah.
And Snake Eyes is a G.I. Joe. And it's like, what?
But I don't remember which one it was. It was one of the, like, British-y guys lures a bunch of Joes to a movie theater and literally explodes them all.
Dr. Mindbender?
Yeah. Thank you.
Dr. Mindbender.
And just, like, he lures them in there and blows them up. And he's like, that's one, two. You know, and Baroness is like,
Here's the ticket stubs.
Yeah. Here's his finger, his foot, you know. It's just this really dark, cool thing, you know, that you wouldn't necessarily expect.
I mean,
but
IDW, like, they've taken such good care of these, like, characters that they do, like Turtles and Joe and Transformers and Ghostbusters, that even, like, the stuff we talked about earlier this year, the Deviations.
Right.
Where it's like, you know, they just went to these companies and said, can we do these stories?
Mm-hmm.
And I've read one did I read? I read one of them and it was like, okay, that's really just off the wall weird. But it's like, you know, that's what you expect a company to be able to do when they
take
care of these
when
characters.
They have the license.
We want to try this.
Well, the whole Turtles and Batman crossover.
Right.
You know, back when they had Doctor Who before it went back to Titan books,
right.
You know, they told a lot of really cool Doctor Who, Star Trek. There was a Doctor Who Planet of the Apes, if I'm not mistaken. No, it was Star Trek Planet of the Apes, wasn't it? But there was a really cool Doctor Who, Star Trek, The Next Generation crossover.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
It's fun because, like, you know, Dark Horse and IDW get these properties.
Yeah.
And they just have fun. And that's what it's like. That's what comic books are about, is having fun.
Yeah. If like, just speaking of that real quick, like, Dark Horse, if you're not reading the Avatar graphic novels, get them. Because this last one, The Smoke and Shadows, the final, like, they do it in three parts.
You picked up the
I get them individually because I don't want to wait, you know, like, I'm already waiting 6 months at a pop for the next one to come out. It was awesome. There's a cool character that comes back that you know is already out there, but, like, this character shows back up and you're like, yes!
Cool. Is it one of the co-creators writes those?
Yeah, Brian. Writes it. So
that's good, because you saw what happened when writers aren't involved in creation of Avatar stuff.
Like what?
The movie?
Oh.
The Shyamala.
Wait, there
Shyamala-ma-lam-la movie?
So when the Kidbot was tiny, like, we watched Avatar all the time. It was, like, her favorite thing. And I had watched the first half of the M. Night Shyamalan movie. And then I was like, I'm going to see if she'll watch this, just because I was curious.
How old was she?
She was maybe four.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so I turned it on, And within 2 minutes, she's crying. And I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, this isn't Avatar. Just like, you know, tears streaming down her face. It's like, okay, I'll turn. Like 2 minutes into the movie. And it's like,
There's some things where you don't need a live action movie. Like if they were going to do an Avatar, The Last Airbender movie.
Yeah.
It should be animated. And it should be the actors who played the voices of the characters. Yeah. It should be, you know, if it's going to be a story about Aang, you know, it should be everybody who was on that show.
Yeah.
And it'd be an epic story.
And if they were going to do that, even if they did like the animation style of like Kung Fu Panda or something like that, that would be awesome. But like, we're kind of totally off base here. But
told you we were going to go off
base. It happens every time. So thanks, Katie.
Well, I know stuff about that.
But
like, he only took the job because his kids wanted it.
What?
M. Night.
Oh.
He took the job because his kids were huge fans of the
show. I think it's pronounced M. Night.
Never listen to your like, kids. M-bop.
Did you ever watch Scrubs?
Yes.
The janitor, when he was like, it's M. Night.
M. Night.
M. Night. M. Night. I was like, M. Night. And then he was like,
I'm not even attempting the last name.
Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
Shyamalama ding dong.
It's racist, man.
How's it racist?
I don't know.
I was going to say, I'm just singing his name.
Yeah, there you go. I'm really excited to see what IDW does. I'm really excited for this whole like Hasbro verse to come out.
I think it'd be cool because like, you know, and I've talked about this with you and I've talked about this with her, and that Venom can be a part of Cobra.
Oh yeah.
Just because of the name.
Yeah. It's an offshoot or
years ago Hasbro, when they were doing the 25th anniversary,
they had a Matt Tracker.
They had a Matt Tracker. Yeah. And it's one of the only ones that I bought of the G.I. Joes. Yeah. I bought all the Cobra. I didn't buy any Joes.
But no, and I'm honestly, so those were some of my favorite toys, too, as a kid. I remember when I got Rhino for like my 8th birthday, like losing my S-H-I-T, you know, and then not talking to anybody for like 5 hours as I went up in my room and played
with it. Yeah,
I found
what was Miles Mayhem's jet that turned into a helicopter. I found one at the flea market, but it was missing a rotor.
It was a helicopter that turned into the jet. Yeah, but
it was missing a rotor, but it had the Miles Mayhem with the mask.
Oh,
and
nice.
I was like, I'll take that.
Well, like Mike, our buddy at Mike's Vintage, had all those figures and none of the masks.
Yeah.
And I was like, because
those masks were too easy to lose.
But I would have bought all of them off of him at that time. But it's just one of those things where I'm really looking forward to it. I hope they put out a new line of toys. I hope they're actually quality and not like those crap Thundercat toys they put out a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. The fall apart Thunder Tank.
Yeah, but it's Hasbro. You know, they've got...
Yeah, if Hasbro does do a new series, hopefully they're about the size of the G.I. Joes, a 3¾-inch.
Yeah. So
and
Sarah,
make the vehicles a little bigger and, you know, more
so my friend Sarah works in publicity there. Sarah, if you're listening, make them do it right.
And send us free stuff.
Free stuff.
Very subtle.
I'm not subtle when it comes to that. Actually, let's put it to you this way. If you send us free stuff, we will review the free stuff.
With videos,
that's
too.
Well, right. Yeah,
not just talking about it.
I'm not just wanting free stuff to just play with it. I want free stuff that we can say, "Hey, this is good. This is, you know, fun to play with." And
Johnny,
we've done it.
Johnny is a YouTube sensation.
Yeah,
you should review the new World of Warcraft figures.
World of Warcraft figures.
I know you guys aren't into it.
Who's making those? Is it NECA?
I don't know, but they're like $25.
That's NECA.
No, they're surprisingly good quality. Somebody did a review of like.
Oh well, somebody already reviewed it. Then there's
released,
no need for us to do it.
They're not released yet, so that's why it's a big deal. Somebody did a review of them on display at I think E3 or Comic Con,
Toy Fair, New York Comic Con.
They're like this tall, and they're really high quality. You know?
So they're about a 12-inch figure, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're $25 and. Because if you've seen some of the other World of Warcraft
I'll
stuff,
just throw it out there. If any toy company wants to get in touch with us, we'll review your stuff.
Contact at infamouspodcast.com.
Don't say any toy company.
Any toy company. Any toy company.
Johnny's going to end up with a lot of adult toys.
I was going to say, Hustler, if you want to, I'll review shit. I don't care.
You can review that on your own.
That's all you, buddy.
Those are going to be the YouTube videos that are just going to be black blocks everywhere.
Those are the YouTube videos Johnny shoots on his own phone.
I'll do that.
Anywho. But, like I said, it's just cool. It's nice to see, like, multiple companies talking together about the media and putting the plan into place for how they're going to do it.
Is that comic going to be a continuation of the old stuff?
Well, I think it's a reintroduction. Okay. More, you know, if you're in the know, you know, you're fine. But if you're not in the know, you could just read it and be entertained by it. I mean, you can go on YouTube and watch mask videos till the cows come home.
I have the complete series on DVD if you'd like to borrow it. So,
more binge watching.
Yes.
65 episodes of binge watching.
66, I think.
Well, I watched
of Mask,
like season 1 to season 10 or 11 of Supernatural in like 3 weeks or 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Supernatural.
Yeah. I know a lot about
Carry
Supernatural.
On my way.
Oh my god.
Kansas. That's right. Kansas, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Got a musical reference.
He actually knew what he was talking about. Yay!
Well, we don't fact check anything, so you know.
You don't fact check.
I'm kidding. I source everything we talk about. So
yeah, put that bit. Just put up the opening of Mask on the on the notes, on the show notes.
That would be cool.
Or you should have just a really long string of Brian talking without breaths, saying all the wrong facts throughout the show.
That's gonna be like our 100th episode. I'm just gonna cut all that together.
Like everything where it's like, oh, you know, I pick on him. He mispronounces names, and now I'm like, hey, nope, that's not how you say it.
But some of that I do intentionally.
I know
so.
You do. So somebody can come through the microphone and not smack the hell out of you.
If they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. Do what?
Hate mail.
Hey, any mail is good mail.
We haven't gotten hate mail in a long time.
No.
You have?
So we haven't in a long time. So,
but you have it one time.
Yeah, but
I saw one bad comic on the Facebook.
Yeah, whatever.
What are you Facebook stalking us?
The podcast.
Oh, okay.
Don't flatter yourself.
Man. So, all right. So, before we get to our last topic, Katie, you are new to comics,
yes.
More or less. So, would you say the last year or a little longer?
Probably the last 6 months.
Oh, it's that short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So what are you checking out? What kind of books are you interested in? And I guess like what kind of stories would you like to see like in comics?
Well, I'm not a huge fan of futuristic sci-fi, you know, like space dystopias or whatever. And I was into
Star Trek.
Get out.
No, I love Star Trek. That's the good thing. I love Star Trek.
She don't like Blade Runner.
You're going to hate me. I've never seen Blade Runner.
Wow.
Yeah.
You should watch Blade Runner. It's actually pretty
I think it's on Netflix.
Actually, yeah, it's on
right
Netflix.
Now, so.
If it
or
is,
Amazon.
I'll watch it.
So. Do you like Dune?
I read the book. I haven't seen the movie.
So do you like Dune?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because there was a wrong answer to that question. Yeah. So.
But it's not like for
What's
medieval fantasy.
No.
For medieval fantasies, I'll read everything.
Okay.
I'll pick it up, whatever. But
so you've read like the Shannara Chronicles and
yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
I did a book report.
Legend
on
of the Seeker, that
and
kind of stuff.
The show is out now. What?
Yeah.
It's like 2 seasons, or it's on its second season.
Second season is going to be in January
on MTV.
Yeah,
they
actually picked it up.
The first season
second.
Ended. Yeah, because Manu Bennett is on there.
Yeah,
so.
Have you
no
seen it?
Deathstroke.
I have it in my DVR. I haven't watched it.
I have not seen it, but I know what it is.
It'll probably show up on Netflix before I actually watch it on my DVR.
Which happens to you often.
It does. And then I'm like, oh, I can delete that.
Yeah,
except for Constantine. That's still sitting in my DVR, but like it's not for sale anywhere.
I think they announced it's going to be on DVD at some point this year.
Well, good.
So, well, like... So Agent Carter is like probably going to get canceled, right? They never released that to stream anywhere.
Really?
Yeah. If that was on Netflix, people watched the hell out of that.
Yeah.
And like people who are like, oh, it's the winter time. I, for some reason, don't want to watch something that's not brand new.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's just ridiculous.
Like that. They're like, this isn't a winter show. I can't watch this. Or this isn't a winter game. And I'm like,
yeah, Agent Carter is awesome, you know?
Games? Oh, yeah. I have this one friend, and if he's listening,
are you talking video games or tabletop games? Or both?
Anything.
Okay.
Anything. He has a set schedule for winter, set schedule for fall. Like, he wouldn't play any of the Batman games, which are dark.
Like Arkham.
Arkham Asylum, Arkham right. City. He wouldn't play any of them in any season but winter.
God, I can.
What a weirdo. What's his name?
Where does he live?
I want to go knock on his door and be like, you're a weirdo.
It's her husband. Hey. So.
No, he's just like me. He'll play. Like, I played
Arkham
Asylum.
Whatever, whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I played Arkham Asylum 8 hours straight, finished it in one night.
Nice.
I bought it. And then
did
I
you talk like Batman the whole time?
I did. I was like, Tom, get me up, soda, or whatever.
So, Arkham City.
The dogs have to go out.
Arkham City, I was 90% done, right?
Yeah.
And my PlayStation crashed.
Oh.
And so this is on me. I always have an external drive plugged into it. I never backed anything up to it.
No.
Oh,
I think
you
can auto backup for future reference.
Well, I didn't have it turned on.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, so it's 90%, 95%, something like that through. I'm now sitting at a solid, like, 18% 2 years later. It's like, I just don't care at this point.
Yeah,
because
you got all the way through it.
I'm like, ugh. But what I did when the 18% is every side mission that's available before you get to Mr. Freeze.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Like, none of the main boss battles. So I have, like, I'm powered up, but, you know.
Smashing faces left and right.
Just yep. Give me Mortal Kombat and I'm fine.
I have that. Mortal Kombat's fun, so. All right, so, you know, you're into the fantasy stuff, the wizarding world-y type stuff.
So my pull list is Dungeons and Dragons, which is, it's coming out, I thought it was
today.
Coming out in April.
So we're actually recording on Wednesday
instead
of Thursday.
Be with
you. Oh, yeah, I'm rocking my Rebel Star Wars shirt.
Yeah, we're actually recording on May the 4th.
May the 4th, I forgot about that. Yeah. Well, I did not forget about it because I woke the kid bot up to the main theme.
Did you just,
this
like,
morning
have Star Wars pounding through the house today? Nice.
So
you need to run speakers through the whole house so you can just do that.
No,
like,
I want to get a Sonos system.
The hell out of everybody.
I want to get a Sonos system. So
she's already traumatized.
Yeah. Have you met? You haven't met her yet, have
no,
you?
I haven't.
No.
Yeah. No. She's funny. She's
whenever
her own.
I'm leaving, she holds up a sign that says,
no, she's funny because she has her own little fandom thing that she's into. She and the stuff that she's into, she's really into, which is cute. So she's obsessed with Mighty Zodiac right now.
Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Is this all her stuff?
No.
No, those
the,
two figures she's
the DC superhero
figures.
Girls. We found the Batgirl and Supergirl, which I guess, according to our friend Buzz at Hive of Villainy, are hard to find.
Oh, really?
And
oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. And the cool thing is it's...
That's going to be one of the free comics.
Yeah, that is...
Oh, okay.
It's up there. But the cool thing about it is, you know, they're girl heroes. They're like kind of high school age. So it's in line with that Ever After High or Monster High type stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
But they are dressed appropriately.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Monster
you know.
High.
Like her Harley Quinn's not showing too
no,
much.
No, Harley skin. Quinn is in the almost traditional Harley Quinn outfit.
She kind of looks like a cheerleader. Like it's a cheerleader outfit that went bad. Yeah. Because, see, she's got, like, a little skirt, so it looks
and
like a cheerleader
Argyle.
Outfit that went bad.
An Argyle sweater vest?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, no, those are, like, rewards for reading this summer, so.
You're holding on to this till the summer? I'll give you $15 of these right now.
And then you'll rub it in her face.
And then I'd be like,
he will.
Hey, Haley,
and,
look what I bought!
And then she'll go to his house and murder him in his sleep and take all of his toys.
It's not like that's the first person that's going to come to my house and murder me in my
There's
sleep.
There's
going to
be a line.
Well, I had...
Everybody's going to kill each other outside trying to get into my house.
I had made a joke about taking Angel to Disneyland next year for her, you know, milestone birthday.
Right.
And Haley goes, I will kill you.
Oh, nice.
So.
Speaking of that, did you hear that they're looking to bump the Tower of Terror?
Yeah,
to Guardians.
Guardians
of the Galaxy.
Yeah. I'm all right with that.
Really?
Yeah, because the tower, I mean, like, honestly, like, you go up and down, right? Like, now walking through the haunted house is cool. But more Guardians in my life can't be bad.
Will they leave it as the tower? Or are they talking about tearing it down?
No, no, no. It'll be like, it'll still go up and down. It'll be Guardians themed. No,
it's the same.
When I say
things, also, it's going to be kind of like an escape from the prison.
Yeah. That's what it'll be. It'll be the the command center of the prison out. No, like honestly, I think they should leave it alone just because it's a really cool ride and it's a cool experience.
Tower of Terror. Yeah.
Because they got rid of another big. Was it E.T. or was it The Simpsons?
That's at Universal, I think.
Yeah, neither one of those.
Sorry.
E.T. They did get rid of E.T. at Universal. And they got rid of Jaws, too, at Universal California.
What?
They took Jaws out.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But yeah, that's like where T.S. and what's-her-name got married. When Jaws jumped out of the water.
A Mallrats reference there, for those who don't know.
Claire Forlani.
Yeah.
So.
I don't even remember her character's name.
Anywho.
Well,
watch the commentary on that and find out who they didn't like.
They liked Brenda.
Well, you know, she had been kicked out of everything at that point.
Ethan's Supley. Supley's line when he looks at her and goes, Brenda? And she goes, Dick. And that's like my favorite part of the whole movie.
I like Stan.
Oh, well. Yeah, that's pretty great, too. All right. So, anyway, what kind of comics are you looking forward to, like, exploring?
DC Superhero Girls now.
No.
No.
Well, have they done anything with that?
So there's the free comic book, and then there's like a graphic novel coming out.
But there's no show.
They're working. It's on it. In the works.
Because they did something like that with My Little Pony, and I don't watch My Little Pony. I'm not a brony, but they took My Little Pony
you
and made it
be
into
a brony
that's Equestria Girls.
A bronyette?
Oh well. Maybe.
Yeah, Equestria Girls,
yeah.
And that went terrible.
Is
and
that where they turned them into? Humans.
It's where they it's so it's kind of like a Flash Earth 2 type thing where they went through a portal, and I know this because Haley loves My Little Pony. She really does. So
in the closet with all his My Little Ponies when he was a little kid.
Let's pull back the curtain.
Please don't. You'll see the bodies of the ponies. They're all headless, hanging by their tails.
People have artwork of that.
When growing up, we had a little boy in our neighborhood named Michael who was he was a little kid, and he had a My Little Pony with its missing head, and he carried it by the tail and like chewed on the tail everywhere he went. And it was like the creepiest thing. Like it still creeps me out to this day.
He's in prison now.
But all right, so
carrying a My Little Pony.
So you're looking forward to more My Little Pony books?
No,
because they have two concurrent series running
you're buying,
right now.
What,
so
From Under Mountains, were you getting that?
I was buying it. I read a couple. I wasn't a huge fan of it.
Okay.
I did read Autumnlands.
Okay, yeah, Tooth and Claw book. Yeah.
Yeah, Tooth and Claw. I really like that. I'm gonna start getting the trades of that.
And that's, you know, I have them and I haven't read them, but it's anthropomorphic animals.
Yeah.
And it's by Kurt Busiek. And it's, you know, that's the only reason I bought it is because it's Kurt Busiek. I know it's going to be good. I just haven't read it yet. And that's Image, I think.
Actually, a lot of the stuff I read
is
from
Image.
You should check out Morning Glories. That's a cool one. It's like this weird supernatural heist.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
You're in
so,
the supernatural
like Morning Glories is this like supernatural, like high school, like time travel-y thing. It's really cool and dark and fun. Chew would be a good one for you as well. It's a world where the FDA is the top law enforcement agency because chicken has been outlawed because there was this big avian outbreak or avian flu outbreak, and everyone has food related powers. So the main character Tony Chew can take a bite out of anything. He's called a sibiopath, and he can see its entire history up until the moment where he took the bite. So
what
if someone's been murdered.
That's scary.
Yeah. Well, and so the only thing he can eat and not see like it's past is beets.
Okay.
So he's like he's just miserable, you know, as you would be if the only thing you could eat were beets.
Is his skin purple?
No.
He's Asian, isn't he?
He's Asian, yeah. But he has a white ear because he got his ear bitten off by at one point. And when his like director at the FDA hates him. So when it was time to like, you know, get a replacement, he's like, I don't care. Just get him whatever. And it's like, so his ears are different sized
nice.
And one is white and you know, the other is the natural one. So
yeah, I've read the first few issues of that book.
Yeah. It's, well, it's coming up on its end too. So that's right. One where, you know, you can read beginning to end.
Well, yeah, it's like I told you, The Sandman is a good book.
Fables.
That you would like. Fables is another one.
But
yeah. Not like the game, right?
No. Well, it's the Fables Wolf Among Us. Is that what it is? I think. The Telltale game. Is that what you're talking about?
It's just called Fable.
Oh, is it? Okay. But that is focusing on the Bigby Wolf character.
Oh, okay.
It's but amazing. Like the Fables comic book is like the entire universe, like all the Fable characters in the modern day, and that plus there's a lot of flashbacks and that. Bigby Wolf is part of it, but like now I think DC Vertigo is publishing they call it A Wolf Among Us, and it's supposed to be that story that's from the Telltale game and that. But yeah, the original story, and it's over now, I mean that's done too, so you could literally just pick it up in trades. That's one you would like. And that you like the, like we've talked about it, you like the mystical stuff and the supernatural stuff and the knights and the all that type of stuff, which right. is totally cool with me.
So. Yeah, well, cool. All right, so then
Conan the Barbarian.
I picked up a shiny one. Did I tell you that?
Did you?
I did. Just one.
She Conan. Likes shiny books.
The shiny yeah. ones.
Anybody want to, you know, throw a chromium book in front of Katie?
Hey, the guy who
sold
the guy who draws Lady Death. Followed me on Twitter.
Aww. Polito?
Yes.
Okay.
Nice. Brian Polito.
Cool.
Nice.
Hey, Brian Polito.
And then he liked a tweet.
Aww.
Cool.
So I'm famous now.
She's Twitter famous.
I'm Twitter famous with my 50 followers.
Nice. All right, so...
That's cool. Brian Polito actually yeah. is a cool guy, so...
He's
a good artist.
I've seen him at a couple conventions, and he's...
He shares...
He's a showman, for sure.
He'll retweet fans' pictures, yeah. like, if they... post a comic book or a cosplay. It's
yeah, I think nice. He's working on a new book right now for Lady Death. I think he got the rights back because he lost the rights for a while, and then he got them reverted back or something like that. So, because that was Chaos Comics was when he was publishing it, and then somebody else got the rights to it when he lost the rights to it, and I think he's got it coming back like later this year or something. He's working on something.
Cool.
Just send him a message. You're friends with him.
You guys are BFFs now, right?
We're tight.
So tell him, sleepovers. Tell him to come on for an interview.
We'll, yeah, bring him on. You can interview him. That'll be fun. All right. So then our, I guess, quote unquote, main story that we're going to kind of breeze through. The Flash movie.
It's a main story, but we're breezing through it.
Well, no, we've had fun with Katie, and
this
you know,
isn't. This
we're
isn't
done
a,
with her now.
I mean, this is like not an important story at all because the DC cinematic universe is crumbling before it even starts.
Which is why this episode 42 is titled "Flash Fact." This is a mess. And my subtitle here is Flash Movie Director Runs Off. The puns are just never ending. I'm not a pun person, but like I've done this like non-ironically.
It should have been like the former Flash director streaks out like a lightning bolt.
Everyone's shocked.
Make like a tree and get out of here.
They're nice.
Anyway. So Seth Graham Smith.
I think that's leave.
What's
yeah. I know.
Johnny, you are my density. I mean
nice.
My destiny.
Nice.
I keep doing that.
Yeah, you do.
Anyway. Okay, so Seth Graham Smith has left the movie due to creative differences, according to Hollywood Reporter. Graham Smith is the author and screenwriter of Pride and Prejudice and Zombies and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Both of which were much better books than they were movies.
I didn't read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh, it's good.
But Abraham Lincoln. Yeah.
And I think
that
you still
was,
have
that
my...
That was where I had nerd rage on the movie.
Yep. I think you still have my Blu-ray of Abraham Lincoln Vampire
I
Hunter.
I back to you.
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I don't care.
Right, yeah.
So he's walking away from the project. But the weird thing is that the WB will retain the script that he wrote, which is based on the treatment from Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. And if those names sound familiar, it's because they're the guys behind the Lego movie and 21 and 22 Jump Street.
Oh, okay.
So maybe they will get Phil Lord and Christopher Miller to hop over and take over the Flash.
The Lego 2 movie.
I know, but you know, if you like, just think of how much fun the Flash movie.
Working on that Men in Black 22 Jump Street.
Are they? Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. So that'll be awesome.
I look more forward to that than any of the DC movies.
I tell you what, I feel like this Flash movie is a disaster waiting to happen. Ezra Miller doesn't do anything for me. He didn't do anything for me in Batman v Superman.
Well, he's barely in it.
But even like even that, he didn't. He just didn't look the part. You know, what was it? The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah.
I thought he was horrible in that.
Oh, really?
So okay. I didn't, you know, I didn't care for him at all.
Sure.
So, but yeah, it's just, you know, there's the whole.
That movie for Hermione. That's,
well, you know. Yeah, come on. But, you know, it's this. There's the dissension in the ranks with Zack Snyder now.
Somebody finally realizing that he's not the guy to do this stuff?
Well, it's like when we were talking to Christian last night, and I said, you know, that guy's got a bright future as a director of photography. Well, you know, like
visually
stunning.
He can set up anything, but like, you know, I mean, if you watch Sucker Punch, you know, if you can make it through it,
nope.
It's a beautiful movie. I mean, beautifully shot.
The first 20 minutes looks great. Yeah. I've never made it past.
I literally watched the whole thing. Don't know what the story was about. I think I played on the computer a lot while I was watching it. But it's like there's the part where the B-52 bomber is being chased by a dragon.
I never made it that far.
Dude, you should just jump to that part and watch that because it's just a cool visual effect.
Okay.
And that's what that movie literally looked like. It was just like, let me show you what I can do. I have an idea for a story. It involves a lot of hot chicks.
I am this talented at making things look pretty.
I mean, literally, and that's the thing. It's like, it literally seemed like he went and goes, I'm going to cast five pretty girls, six, because Carly Gugino's in it too.
Yeah, see, and like, she's like one of my favorites.
But I mean,
you know,
like,
I love her. It's with
Jamie
all
Chung.
Of my pants,
it's so. Oh, God.
Is Abigail Breslin in it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, Vanessa Hudgens.
That's okay.
Yeah,
I know they're not
and
the
I
same
forget
person.
The other, I'm
but,
sorry, I forget
you know,
the other three
a,
girls. But like, know, but. It's literally them and Scott Glenn.
Okay.
And it's like these simulations.
See, on paper, it seems like something I would love. Right?
No, you wouldn't, because the paper would make no damn sense whatsoever.
Which I like that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the less sense something makes, the more I'm interested in watching it.
I tell you what, watch it,
I will.
But stop it before the end, because the end totally, like, makes me go, what just happened?
You mean like Superman Returns? So if you stop if you stop watching Superman Returns when he crashes to Earth.
Yeah.
And just assume he's dead. It's a great movie.
Yeah, fair enough.
You like it when people die.
No, not really. No. So,
no,
see.
There's the thing at the end of Sucker Punch, though, where it, like, totally makes the whole movie make no sense whatsoever.
So it's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, can we spoil her?
Yeah, just spoil
it. Spoil
it's, like, been out for, like, 10 years.
It looks like it looks like everything that happened in the movie happened in her head.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that she got lobotomized at the end of the movie by Mad Men.
Didn't watch it.
John Hamm. Yeah. John Hamm shows up at the end and it looks like he lobotomized her and it's like, okay, so what happened?
What happened here?
And literally I was like, I should go back and watch this now.
I should pay attention this
I should really go watch this. And then I thought maybe I should watch it with a commentary because I think the Blu-ray has the commentary on
it.
Because I think it might make sense if I watch it with the commentary. And then I went, I don't got time for that.
Yeah.
I'll go watch Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead or 300 or, you know, Watchmen.
Something where he could just copy from something else.
Well, you know, Dawn of the Dead was the first movie he did. Yeah. And it's not copying anything.
But
really.
It's...
I mean, it's just, you know, a nod to the original. But there's enough original story in
it. I just figured it out. He is the movie director equivalent of an inker.
Ooh.
He's a tracer.
Wow, that's kind of insulting, inkers.
It's from Chasing Amy.
I know.
You know, but, you know, he, like, but like, oh, man, if I ever meet him now, I'm just going to say, you're a tracer.
But if he did that, if he would have done that with Superman and with Batman versus Superman, those movies would have been supremely better.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
And I mean, he did a really excellent job of adapting 300 and adapting Watchmen, because Watchmen had enough stuff that he tweaked.
They made Watchmen different enough that
the ending was like, his ending was supremely better than the ending that Alan Moore wrote.
Yeah. Alan Moore. He's complaining about the killing joke already.
No.
That guy.
Excuse me.
Anywho. All right. Well.
This thing.
The Flash is supposed to come out on March 3rd, 2018. So who knows at this point.
2018?
Like, well, you know, to get speed effect.
They project far enough ahead now that they can tell you what movies are coming out in 2020. You'll have the Blu-ray in 2019. It's like Spaceballs, the movie. You're going to be able to fast forward to the part and find yourself in the theater watching it going, what the hell am I watching?
That was a long way to get there, but it was worth it.
Yeah, it was.
Especially for the look on her face. But
because she totally got the Spaceballs part. Like,
well, it took her a second.
She didn't know, but then I said Spaceballs the movie, and it's like, oh, yeah. But
anyway, it's just one of these things where it's like,
they the desert.
that is a great scene. What are we watching?
Yeah.
We're watching now.
When they get to the part where it's them.
Where they're watching themselves.
And it's like, they keep looking at the camera, and they keep looking back, and they look at the camera, it's like, you can't see yourself.
And it was the infinite loop
of
them watching them on the monitor, watching them on the monitor. You know,
that's what I feel like will happen at some point. I'll be watching a movie in a theater, and then it'll be me watching myself, watching the movie, and I'll be like, What the hell am I watching here?
Katie, I think Johnny just pitched a reality TV show to the E! Network.
Yeah.
So.
If anybody wants to pick that up.
But no, please
trademark.
TM. But no, so.
All trademark, all rights reserved.
These DC movies just are not off to a good start.
It's just the thing where, like, we've talked about it.
We have.
You know, it's the thing where Captain America comes out tomorrow. We've been looking forward to Captain America since they announced that Captain America Civil War was happening.
Yeah.
You know, even with Age of Ultron kind of bringing me down.
Being a bit of a turd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, okay, cool.
And I mean, they've
shown the preview of Doctor Strange.
Which was really cool and is something that we all are looking forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not a character. It's kind of like Ant-Man. It's not a character where you're like, you know it.
Well,
like, you know who Iron Man is. You know who Thor is. You know who Captain America is. You know who Hulk is.
Well, it's like the Guardians and Ant-Man. Yeah. And, you know, it's one of these things where it's like, okay, they have free reign to take and turn this character into something interesting and cool.
Plus, they picked a good time of year.
November. So it's taking that Harry Potter slot.
Yeah.
That Hobbit slot, you know, essentially.
Right.
Where there's not Hunger Games.
Yeah.
You know, those movies aren't there anymore. So, you know, November is the perfect time. That's when the original Thor came out.
Well, plus Benedict Cumberbatch will bring his own audience to it because he has the Cumberbitches. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
That's what they call him.
I know. So, I mean, it's just funny. But, it's just one of those things. He's got the Sherlock crowd.
The fan base of Sherlock. Yeah. The fan base of Cumberbatch himself.
The Anglophile fans of the female fans of Matt Smith Doctor and things like that, they're totally gonna check it out.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those things where it's a solid cast.
Yeah,
even with the controversy about Tilda Swinton, who cares?
So here's the thing about that, right? Nobody talks about the fact that they've made, you know, other characters who were white a different race.
You mean like Nick Fury?
Well, there's that, but no, in Doctor Strange, what's his name?
Baramordo.
Yeah.
Baramordo, who was a German.
Yeah.
A German.
And now it's
going to be Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like nobody talks about that.
Right.
You know, or the fact that, hey, they cast a woman. Like, you know, so who cares?
It's the thing where Tilda Swinton kind of makes sense of the Ancient One because she kind of looks like. Because
she's creepy
like
looking.
A creepy, weird. Yeah, so it's like one of those things when they show her in the preview, I'm like, yeah, this works for me.
It's like when she was in Constantine, it's like, is she hot? Is she creepy? Like, should I feel bad about myself because I think she's hot? You know,
she's playing what? Gabriel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like she was playing Gabriel the Angel, who, you know, for everything we've ever thought was a male.
Right,
and she
right.
shows up and is like, wait a minute.
Maybe it wasn't Gabriel. Maybe it's Gabrielle.
Switching it up.
There you go. Look at that, Bibliophiles, and come back to us.
It's just one of those things where, in my mind, angels can be male or female, sure. depending on what they want to do.
Yeah. All right. So, anyway.
Well, they're supposed to have possessed a human. Not possessed, but like...
Well, when she shows up in the Constantine movie, she literally comes flying down, but like they don't show her wings or anything. They just show shadow of her wings. And she's literally levitating off the floor, and you just see her feet touch. And then she starts just walking, and it's like...
just gently, just...
Okay!
So she's like... She's
the angel Gabriel.
She took the form of a human?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I guess she took the... Well, she...
All right. We'll do a Constantine one. Yeah.
I mean, even when she played
the White Queen.
In Narnia, it's like, oh, that could have been a male or a female, because she's androgynous enough that she doesn't look... female and she doesn't look male. Like, I think what there's the character Orlando that's been around forever, like, is a character that can switch back and forth between sexes. She is an immortal, and I think Tilda Swinton played her in a movie.
Okay.
And literally there's points in the movie where she's playing the male version of Orlando, and then she's playing the female version.
Oh, what movie was it? I remember that. Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. I remember that now.
Yeah, so like Orlando was the Alan Moore book, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Orlando was one of the original League of Extraordinary Gentlemen characters. And throughout the history of that group, he was a male at one point, and then, like, he would turn into a female. Like, literally, his penis would fall off, and he'd have a vagina and everything. And then he would grow a penis back, and, you know, the vagina would go away.
That sounds really weird.
That's the thing, like, you know, all these people...
He'd just keep him up on a wall. He had a mantle.
Like, this is how many times
I just imagined it, and I mean, Alan Moore wrote it.
This side is for the penises, this side's for the vaginas.
It sounds really weird, but, like, Alan Moore wrote, like, he didn't do a detailed description, and it was one of those things where it's like, use your imagination a little bit, but I imagined, like, what from what he wrote, and, you know, the original creator of Orlando didn't really go into detail, and it just was pretty much, you know, that the penis fell off at some point. I always imagined it as... It shriveled up like a, you know, an appendage would, and just fell off.
Yeah.
And it's like, she is good enough that she can play this character called the Ancient One. And it doesn't matter that she's a female. It doesn't matter that she's white and not Asian, because it's just called the Ancient One. So you don't even know if it's really a person. And I mean, in the preview, it literally... doesn't look like she's a person. She's just a mystic, you know. Yeah. So people are bitching about that.
So that was the movie Orlando.
Yeah.
From 1992.
Yeah.
Well, there's a bit. This is a bit of a stretch, but did you hear about, not really controversy, but Harry Potter became a play?
Yeah, and they had cast a black woman as Hermione. Yeah,
which is totally fine by me.
Sure.
I don't care. But. Well, J.K. Rowling came onto her Twitter and she was like, I never said Hermione was white.
Right. Yeah.
But in the book, she says, you know, Hermione's fair skin, Hermione's face was white.
She had freckles and that type of stuff.
Exactly.
And... Well, like, I've been obsessed with that Hamilton thing on Broadway right now. That won, like, all the Tonys because the music's on Spotify and I've been listening to it at work. And, like, Thomas Jefferson is black in that.
Oh, really?
Who cares? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow, interesting.
Like, it's a very, like, you know... diverse cast. It's pretty cool.
Sure. I mean, if you want to, like, the thing is nowadays there's a lot of people that are so touchy about it.
Yeah.
I remember a time when Michael Crawford left the Phantom of the Opera and Robert Guillaume, who played Benson, took over. And it's like, he's black. This is a French story.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, he has a French last name with Guillaume.
Right. Yeah, right. So. But it was one of those things where.
Plus, he was Rafiki, so, you know, he can do no wrong.
Well, it was before Rafiki.
So, I'm just saying, he was Rafiki, so.
But I'm like, there's no controversy back then. It's like, people have just gotten too touchy.
And he was Isaac Jaffe on Sports Night. So, you know, right there.
All right.
In Civil War.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's Peter Parker.
It's Peter Parker.
It's Peter Parker.
Not Miles.
Right. It's not Miles Morales.
But, like, they have room to do Miles in the movies.
Well, sure, yeah.
And, you know, which would be great. Okay, so we're going to end this because Johnny
pretty
and
much
I,
on time.
Ba-bam. So Johnny and I have done a lot of recording this week, and we still have more ahead of us. So
have fun with that.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna be back for a long, long time.
Wow.
Fine, be that way.
I'm gonna be taken care of by top men. That sounded bad. That was
I meant in the sense
I'm gonna be shoved into a warehouse somewhere far in the back, and you're never gonna see me again.
Oh,
like the Ark of the Covenant.
You're gonna be like the Ark at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I got your Spaceballs reference.
We're just gonna put you in a box and have the guys cart you to the back. And,
exactly.
We have a box downstairs. We can put her
in. And then when you want me back,
you're
on
great.
The show.
Now you've mentioned.
So
you're going to the basement.
So for the five of you who are still listening to this, thank you. You know, we'll be recording this for ourselves from now on.
I thought we built up more audience when I came on.
Well, it was one before, and then it got to five.
Oh wow!
Then,
how do you know how many people are listening?
A little thing called analytics.
Well,
wait a minute. There's only five people listening. To
no,
the show.
There's more than. Five. No, there are seven,
and we're three of them.
I don't listen to the show.
Yeah. I don't listen to it like all the way through anymore. I spot check it to make sure.
But that would show up on analytics.
So. No, well, kind of, yeah. But
now we're getting into the technical background of this show.
Anyway, all right. So, hey, if you want to help us support the show, go to the website and click on the microphone image at the top. We have an Amazon store, and anything you buy from the Amazon store helps the show out. So to help cover, yeah. Go buy the Civil War comic. It's actually one of the things
that's available on Amazon.
So there's that. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Infamous Podcast. If you have a question for us, you can email us at contact@infamouspodcast.com. We have a lovely picture of Katie on the website if you're curious of how.
Picture you on the website.
Yeah.
It's clothed.
I guess I should look at the website once in a while.
I have a bio and everything.
She's a bio, man.
Oh, really?
I have a
on the About Us
maybe.
Page, yeah.
What?
It's her and her dog.
You know what I just realized?
In a jar of peanut butter. It's really weird.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a jar of peanut butter with dog ears.
Okay.
And I pretend it's my dog. I just realized that I have a very loud voice. So
that's
I all
right.
When you listen to this again, I'm not like screeching.
I blow the speakers out on this
constantly. Constantly.
There was one time where I got so loud I actually blew the show out, and we had to start recording.
It stopped. It literally.
It literally stopped.
Stopped the recording.
Jesus.
It was like, yeah. So
because I like to get in close to the microphone, you know what I'm saying?
Anyway,
like, welcome to the Infamous Podcast.
You can say goodbye from the Infamous Podcast.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so
5-star reviews for Apple iTunes.
Well.
Nice. We thank Katie for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Katie.
Sorry, I'll go a little monotone.
And then, so let's do our best NPR
voices.
Do
Kylo Ren? I'll do Kylo Ren.
So, Katie, where can they
really
find you
on? Han Solo.
Han Solo.
I don't know what just happened.
We have just lost our minds. No, so where can people find you online if they were so inclined to, say, follow you, become one of your 60 followers on Twitter?
That was Instagram. On Twitter, I'm...
so sorry.
No, wait, it's the other way around. Okay, yeah. So on Twitter, I am at Katie Rock, spelled very uniquely as CaitiRock.
And you can go to our About Us page to get a link to that.
Oh, was I supposed to plug Infamous Podcast? I'm sorry. You can find me on Infamous
Podcast. It was
in
your contract.
Which is the best podcast in the world.
What podcast do you listen to?
What?
I just kind of play comedy stand-up over the podcast so that it looks like I watched it.
Oh,
jerk. My brain just went, what? Did I just watch Sucker Punch again?
So Johnny just had a lobotomy, apparently.
God.
Anyway, all right. So, no, so you're on Twitter and Instagram,
Twitter,
Katie Rock.
Katie Rock, CaitiRock. Don't stalk me. I've had that happen before. And that sounds pretty conceited.
It does sound really conceited.
You can stalk me
but
anytime.
But Johnny can vouch for me. I've had some pretty creepy people.
Wasn't Johnny one of the stalkers?
Johnny was one of them. No. This is Stockholm Syndrome.
No. Well, I wasn't, but I remember at least one.
Yeah.
So Johnny says he doesn't have a basement in his house, that's where Katie really lives.
Sitting outside your apartment right now. Oh, I remember that one.
I remember that. Oh, God.
All right, so you have to come back and tell us all about that.
Yes.
So.
No.
Anyway. All right, Johnny, where can they find you online?
Twitter and Instagram, Johnny Podorf. And I'm on Facebook, too.
God, I was so much more enthusiastic.
I was trying to think, I am Johnny Podorf, right?
You're at Johnny Podorf on Twitter and Facebook. I have no idea.
JohnnyPotorf.
Inmate number.
Because she spelled hers out, I wanted to spell mine out, too.
All right. And you can find me at Brian. I'm at Brian Tudor on everything. So it's really
simple. BRIANTUDOR.
So on my Snap, I had someone follow me and be like, are you the magician Brian Tudor? I'm like, no, I'm the Brian Tudor who's good at branding.
But I'll make you disappear.
No, I said I'm the Brian Tudor that's good at branding. Because I have everything that's Brian Tudor one word. So, except for the .com.
You should have just said yes and showed him really crappy.
Just snap.
I'm going to pour this milk into this paper cone.
I'm going to pour this milk into this glass, and then I'm going to drink it. Do that.
Ta-da!
So I'm going to make this milk disappear. I should
have
done that.
Have you ever seen milk disappear from a gallon?
And then I die, and the little X's over my eyes. So, all right. So,
but then you perform a magic trick and come back to life.
Da-da-da-da.
Okay, on that note.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. So, check out our, what do we do on Tuesday?
Okay, hold on. Oh, yeah. I'll do it. Let me do it.
Let me do it.
Check out our review of Star Trek Insurrection.
It's really short.
It was really short because we have no love for that movie.
It's really bad.
Golden turd.
So this comes out on Friday.
On Tuesday, the Tuesday upcoming from this show, there will be an interview with Christian Colbert. Go back and listen to our interview with Jay Torres. Brian interviewed Jay Torres. I did not get that opportunity. What else do we have up there? We're going to do a review of Captain America Civil War, hopefully on Saturday.
That'll be up Sunday at the latest.
On Saturday night, we'll record me crying from our free comic book day experience.
Oh, we should do that at dinner.
Oh, like me crying?
Yeah.
Because I... After this, okay, so we recorded yesterday, we recorded today, tomorrow we're going to go see Captain America, Friday I have to work Friday night, then I have to record a review on Saturday, and then I have to work at the comic book store on Saturday for Free Comic Book Day. It's only two books at Free Comic Book Day and Queen City Comics. There's only two books.
Well, I was going to say, we are at Queen City Comics all day.
Come by and say hi. Give me a hug.
We're at
maybe bring me something to drink that involves alcohol.
We are at the Pleasant Ridge location on Montgomery Road. So
are you
check
both
it out.
Be there
yeah,
all day?
Yeah, we'll both be there all day.
So we take turns back behind the free comics, handing them out.
As in, we take turns. He takes over when I go in the bathroom and pound the wall a couple times.
And then I'm not back there, I walk around talking to people. Yeah. Convincing them to buy trade paperbacks that they don't need or want. So,
by the time we leave, we've sold everything.
I think last year I sold 40.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All joking aside, it is fun.
No, it's an awesome day. Bring your kids.
I was gonna say the best part is the kids that come in dressed as superheroes.
A couple years ago, Free Comic Book Day fell on the same day as Star Wars Day.
Oh, yeah, May the 4th.
We brought the KidBot into the shop with her Batgirl Halloween costume and a Chewbacca shirt on.
Yeah.
And so we were calling her Batbaca all day.
Oh, yep. That's cute.
Yeah, that's the fun part is the kids that come in, because that's what Free Comic Book Day is for, the kids. So.
And there's some great all-ages books.
Maybe we'll do some live recording on Saturday.
I was thinking about trying to do some of that. So anyway, all right, guys. This has been episode 42.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Katie. You can...
Any last words, Katie?
Yeah. Katie, you're more than welcome to come back anytime.
Don't go too loud because you will...
I'm being held against my will. Please help me.
It's awesome!
On that note...
So am I!
Wait, I am too. What's going on here?
You're the one that created this thing. So,
anywho, on that note, whenever you're listening to this, day, night, evening, weekend... Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Later.
Later.